Rear Admiral Matt Winter, the Chief of Naval Research, is packing up knickknacks. This week is Winter's final one on the job. He's leaving the post on Friday to take a leadership position in the Pentagon's F-35 program office. Before departing, he spent a few minutes with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu to talk about his 2 years as leader of the Office of Naval Research, which, by the way, turned 70 years old this year.
Starting back on 1 August 1946, when President Truman signed us into law, we've had a phenomenal string of technical, scientific, and transitional technology accomplishments. Things like radar and sonar, nuclear propulsion, the underpinnings of those that have found their way not only into military applications, but into our civilian and corporate and quality of life for all Americans. We are very proud of the 63 Nobel Prize laureates that have ONR on their name from research efforts that have then again supported the Office of Naval Research Science and Technology Strategies. From a specific technology efforts, over these last 70 years, the Office of Naval Research has been the leader in intelligent systems research. We were the first with a fully digital computer, the Whirlwind, early experiments in our robotics work. And now as we move forward into the number of autonomous vehicles in the air, on the sea, and under the sea, all that coming out of the algorithmic phenomenology of the Office of Naval Research. Other areas like electric and directed energy systems, things that people are aware of with our electromagnetic railgun, really taking shipboard gunnery to the next level, an incredible capability with the advanced materials and the electromagnetic research done by the Office of Naval Research. Laser weapons, laser cannons, things that seem to be the future are here today based upon some of our incredible scientists' work in material science that shows how we can actually compact energy density in very small form factors that allow us to have reasonable integration successes for laser capabilities on our ships and eventually on our aircraft. Areas such as oceanography, we are the science and technology office for the Department of Defense for undersea medicine and undersea phenomenology. All of the advances in oceanography, we owe a debt to our Naval Research Laboratory, our Office of Naval Research researchers, in concert with the oceanographic research institutes like Scripps and Woods Hole, that revolve around our six Navy research ships that are arguably the best and state of the art. So those are some of the accomplishments from a technical perspective. One that I wouldn't want to leave out is precise timing. The ONR investments to basic research on cooling of atoms and then being able to actually measure the movement of cooled atoms led to the atomic clock, which has then led to a number of other advancements such as GPS, which is arguably everywhere in the world these days. So across these 70 years, the technologies, I call it the science of science, continues to be eye-watering as we move forward. But importantly, the partnerships that we have forged internally with our academic universities and colleges here in the United States and our industry partners, but also globally with 60 countries that the Office of Naval Research has dedicated science and technology partnerships in a true S&T diplomacy for our country.
And Admiral, you talked a second ago about how much of that history has lent itself to technologies that wound up having kind of world-changing implications for the civilian world. And people talk a lot nowadays about how, you know, DoD is no longer in the leadership position it used to be in terms of developing innovative new technologies. CSIS had a pretty sobering report a couple months ago on just the state of research funding in DoD. They found it's taken a really disproportionate hit to everything else in the current defense drawdown. I think the number was down 53% in at least contracted dollars since 2009. In that environment, how do you prioritize? You know, what are the things that you've tried to protect, whether you want to bin that by basic vice applied research or specific S&T focus areas within ONR?
That's a great question, Jared. So, you know, from a business optic, one would say that your science and technologists, you know, ONR for the Department of Navy, but collectively across the department, we're really the venture capitalists for the Secretary of Defense, for our Secretary of the Navy, and so forth. The budgets have come down at the top line for the Department of Defense, but our S&T budgets have remained relatively constant over the last two decades. Not at the same levels that I would like to see, but I understand the pressures facing the financial realities across the department for current operations and modernization. So the resources that we do get, which is measured about 1 to 1.5% of the top line to maintain that relevant and dominant capabilities into the future and keep us, you know, competitive in the market space, in this case, Department of Defense market space. So how do we do that, and how do we continue to move forward and prioritize that? The Department of the Navy has an S&T strategy that is well thought out. It's coordinated with industry and academia. It brings together a focus on best and brightest partnerships and performers so that we can get the work done and get the biggest bang for the individual S&T dollar. I am a big advocate for continued focus on basic research. That basic research that generates the new ideas, the innovative discoveries, the knowledge that only God knew yesterday that we now know today is truly that corpus of knowledge that allows the engineers and other scientists to look at applications to bring forward. And without that basic research, someday you will have a cavitated pump and have nothing to draw upon for application and advanced research. So we prioritize about half of our resources in the Department of Navy in the S&T world on that basic research and finding that best and brightest cadre of scientists and technicians here and around the world to give us that corpus of knowledge so that we can then extract the highest payoff, highest risk, things like railgun, things like laser cannons, things like LDU UV, our undersea unmanned vehicles, that then can give the biggest bang and the payoff for our sailors and Marines.
Rear Admiral Matt Winter, the departing Chief of Naval Research, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. Tune in this Friday at 10 to hear the full interview on Agency of the Month.